the southern and oldest part of the modern-day Israeli city of Tel Aviv is the ancient port of Jaffa, with a natural harbor and high cliffs that overlook the Mediterranean. Jaffa has long been a rich trade center that linked Europe and Africa and Asia. Famous for, amongst other things, their oranges, Jaffa has been able to ship them around the world. This ancient port has, at various points in its history, been known by different names and ruled by different groups. The Egyptians, the Phoenicians, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Israelites. In ancient times, a story was told of a man sent by God to tell the great city of Nineveh to repent of their wickedness. A man who instead went to the port of Joppa, one of those ancient names for Jaffa, to get on a boat and run the opposite direction. The boat was besieged by a storm. The sailors threw the man overboard, and poor Jonah was swallowed by a big fish after setting out from Joppa. But while its history is varied and tends, with examples like that story, to the somewhat extraordinary, the people living there have always been ordinary people, living ordinary lives the way people do everywhere. And it's in this cosmopolitan city of Joppa where we find the woman Tabitha. By all accounts, Tabitha, whose name is also Dorcas in Greek, was a kind woman. We don't know much about her, and what we do know is told by others. She's called a disciple, the first and the only woman in the New Testament to be given that name, alongside Jesus's 12 companions, which is a mark of her importance in the community and a reminder that even in the early church, women were welcomed into leadership positions alongside men. We know that she was celebrated for her devotion to good works and acts of charity, so much so that at her sudden death, she's surrounded by the weeping throngs of those she helped. And notice who those people are. They aren't the town leaders. They aren't the most important folks in Joppa. They're the ordinary people. They're the widows. The ones who in ancient times were some of the most marginalized and most vulnerable. Upon the death of their husbands, these women would have been left destitute. No social standing, no financial capacity, basically as good as dead themselves. But Tabitha's generosity gave them life. Upon her sudden illness and death, the whole community is rocked and gathers to mourn. And as they do so, they gather to share and to tell the stories of Tabitha, showing off all the beautiful garments that she had made for them over the years. And they also call for Peter, Jesus's friend and another disciple, who happens to be just inland at the nearby city of Lydda. There, he's been with Aeneas, a man bedridden for 8 years. Peter has, in the name of Jesus, healed this man and amazed all the saints living at Lydda. Maybe news of this healing has already spread to Joppa. Maybe they have some inclination of what could happen if they call for Peter. We aren't told why Peter was sent for. We don't know what the folks in Joppa were hoping to have happen. Maybe they just wanted Peter to come and perform the burial rituals. Maybe they wanted a church leader with them to pray and to share their sorrow. But regardless of why, Peter arrives, comes to the house where Tabitha is laid, prays, and she's healed. She's raised. I have to admit, I struggle with these biblical stories of miraculous healings and people being raised from the dead and then life continuing on as if nothing has changed. And I'm sure many of us do. And I suspect that there isn't one person here today who doesn't wish that a loved one was still alive and with us, who doesn't yearn for Tabitha's story to be our own story. So what are we supposed to do with this story of Tabitha coming back to life, with this resurrection story? One of the questions that I often ask myself when stuck with a passage like this is, what is God doing in and through this text? What is God showing me through this story? I don't always find the answer. But as I found myself meditating on those questions as I went through my week this week, my week was, like I'm sure many of yours were, full of some ordinary things, the things that we have to do each week, the things that are just a part of our day-to-day activities, doing laundry, conversation with friends or family, making, eating food. And I saw in this reading that the ordinariness of Tabitha is where God is dwelling. She's made note of for her good works, but that's a title that could be applied to most of us. But we aren't told that it's because of her good works that she's healed, nor is it some extraordinary faith that heals her. No, she's an ordinary woman and a disciple of Jesus, like you and like me. And her life, like every life, matters. So in part, I think we need to hear this story to be reminded of how each one of us matters to God. Much like each one of those sheep that Jesus speaks of, the sheep who know Jesus' voice and who Jesus knows theirs and knows their names, and how each one of them matters. Tabitha's life also reminds us of the impact that we can have on those around us in our ordinary daily life kinds of ways. Tabitha cares for those around her and essentially heads up a welfare program for the poor in Joppa. But she does it in ordinary ways. She welcomes them into her home and she gives them clothes when they don't have the ability to clothe themselves. But her life was life-giving. With her death would come death to others. Without anyone to represent them or protect them, the widows of Joppa would face death themselves. But here, in the season of Easter, we read this story to be reminded that death does not always have the final say. Not that there will be miraculous events of the dead coming back to life every time we turn around, but that the resurrection power of Jesus is in each one of us ordinary people. And living the resurrection is about giving life to others. It's about breathing life into the places where, by all accounts, no life should exist. What's God doing in and through this text? What's God showing us in this story, I asked. God is reminding us that though we often walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us, God is in us, and God works through us. And God uses ordinary us to bring life and breathe life into the places that need life. God is reminding us that death never gets the final word, and reminding us that we are witnesses to the promise and the power of the resurrection of our Lord to enter into the real places of daily life, to address even those darkest times of human grief and loss, and that into those places and into those times, God breathes life. And God uses ordinary us to bring life into unexpected places and into the lives of each other. May the hope of the resurrection life rest with each one of us today and in the days to come as we bring God's life into ordinary and unexpected places. Amen.